Outfielders are so awesome that they get more than one podcast. This is Outfield Part 2. And everybody get excited. We're doing a live mock draft on the air tomorrow. Of course, it's not really live because, you know, you're hearing it on demand. But, you know, we're doing it live. So
it's live when it's recorded, which I guess everything is, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that'll be fun. A mock draft on the air. That'll be tomorrow's show. Adam Azer, Scott White, Heath Cummings. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at CBS Scott White, at Heath Cummings Sr., at Heath Cummings S-R. Please follow us. Also at C Towers CBS. Chris will be back tomorrow. Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Happy Rare Disease Day.
Yes. Heath wanted to talk about something today. The floor is yours, Heath Cummings.
It's going to take a very short period of time. Okay. It's February 28th. 2017, it's Rare Disease Day. It's just a day you're supposed to go learn something about a disease that you don't know anything about. And if you want to just choose one that might impact somebody you know, my son has mastocytosis. So go learn about that. It's better if we all... One of the hard things for people that have diseases that nobody knows about is trying to explain them to people, because you don't really want to talk about it that much.
Okay.
So the more that we can go learn things, the less we have to question people.
Okay. Thank you, Heath. And everybody, yep. Rare Disease Day, so... Yeah, check it out. Take it seriously. Today we're going to look at outfield average draft position. We got through about 15 to 20 outfielders yesterday. Have a running Twitter poll right now. Who would you rather have, Gregory Polanco or Andrew McCutchen? The results are neck and neck right now. McCutchen 51% to Polanco's 49%. So we'll see how that shakes out over the next hour or so. It is Team Name Tuesday. Let's start with a few outfield questions. How significant is this? Matt Kemp, who was the number 10 outfielder in points, number 15 in Roto last year, when he got traded to Atlanta, he started walking and hitting very well. With Atlanta, Kemp had a 280 average, 336 on base, 519 slugging, 20 walks, 56 Ks in 56 games. Kemp had an 885 OPS with the Braves. And again, top 10 in points, 15th in Roto. How significant is that as we look at Matt Kemp, who's, you know, being drafted in the 20s at outfield?
I think it's fairly significant, and it salvaged what had become a pretty negative image for me, just because he'd become like such an extreme non-walker, like Adam Jones level of not walking while he was with the Padres. But what may be even more significant is the effort he made to slim down and get in better shape this offseason.
Best shape of his life.
Well, yeah, probably not the best shape of his life, but much better shape than he had been the last couple years. This was something Braves management encouraged him to do, and he followed through on it. And, you know, we've come over the last few years to see Matt Kemp as this unathletic, poor fielding outfielder. But remember, when he got beat out for Ryan Braun for NL MVP, 2009? No. It was later than that. It was 2011. And a lot of people were upset about it, and part of the reason they were upset is because Kemp contributed more defensively than Braun did. And like he didn't have that reputation. That was before he put on a few more pounds. And seems like they're very encouraged in Braves camp by the way he looks right now. And I don't see him as too much of a regression candidate, to be perfectly honest.
I would guess if his past career is any indication that he's going to regress in the first half of the season, and he is going to get hot at some point, whether it's May, June, or July. Over his career, he has an ISO 40 points higher in the second half than in the first half. He has a slugging percentage almost 50 points higher in the second half. And so it's kind of like a Justin Upton type situation when what month Matt Kemp finally gets hot may determine how great his overall season is. I would not be expecting a lot in April though.
Well, Justin Upton, yeah, I mean, even last year, Justin Upton had a 765 slugging percentage in his last 37 games. So Upton was another guy who finished the season very strong. He had 18 home runs in his last 37 games. He was awful, really, for a while last year.
And I might need to check what I said, because Kemp is actually, for some reason, the terrible month he's had has been May. He's always been better in the second half, but he's been pretty good in April. It's May that he's been awful.
Yeah, I just haven't. I drafted Kemp in our NL only league because he just fell, and that's an right. NL only league. But you know, we kind of talked about this yesterday. Kemp is in this group of outfielders in the 20 to 30 range in average draft position in the rankings that it seems like we often skip over this group. You know, we take maybe a couple outfielders early, a couple outfielders late, and one somewhere else around six or so. Not every time, but. You know, it just there's this group, and maybe we should look at it here of Justin Upton, Chris Davis with a K, Matt Kemp, you know, guys like that, Adam Eaton maybe, that we, I don't know, I just feel like we have, Mark Trumbo, we haven't really been taking them, and they're good players, but what is it about that group that we're avoiding?
I think just... Do they, not being completely sure how much they stand out from the next group of outfielders, which would include like Jay Bruce and maybe like Carlos Beltran, you know, the other guys who could provide power numbers. And it's not so easy to skip over that group, by the way, in a five outfielder league, which is typically a roto league. And a lot of those players you mentioned, Trumbo, Kris Davis, and Matt Kemp, a lot of those players are better suited for roto anyway because they're so power focused. It does seem like Kemp specifically drops between them, and you know, he doesn't have the best image right now, defensive issues like I mentioned, but he has been pretty reliable with the home runs. And so if I see him in around 10-11, that's I often do break with my high low strategy and go ahead and make a move for him.
The biggest reason for me is the area where Matt Kemp's being drafted, there's just outfielders I like more that are going much later. And, that includes Adam Jones.
Okay, yeah.
I do like Adam Jones more than
Jose Kemp. Bautista?
Yeah, definitely.
Not in our drafts, though. That's the thing. In our drafts, they're going before Matt Kemp. In like, this Fantasy Pros ADP, they're going after.
I want to meet the people, because we draft with a wide variety of people here. We're not... You know, well, yeah. Keith and I draft together all the time. Adam's in the
lobby.
We pull in a lot of people from around the industry to draft with us, and like, this never happens. So I'm not doubting it's happening. I mean, obviously the data's showing it is, but it's just weird to think of a draft where Matt Kemp doesn't fall, unless it's with a bunch of Braves fans.
Okay. So anyway, this is enough about Matt Kemp. I also wanted to say that time of the draft is when I'm often taking starting pitchers, but you know, starting pitchers coming up later this week. How significant is this? Billy Hamilton's last 43 games. Billy Hamilton batted .295, did not homer, only drove in 5 runs, but he scored 30 runs and stole 35 bases in 39 attempts in 43 games, and he had 20 walks. So Billy Hamilton had a .295, .371, .337, slash line in those 43 games. He said he was more relaxed at the plate, mentally he felt better, and physically he felt better, and just a little bit more confidence. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think Billy Hamilton, if that's legit, if he really is a .371 on base guy and he's stealing that well, he's like a second round pick in roto.
the big difference for me here
next year
is,
I mean, you know,
I'm not prone to believe any type of second half narrative you craft about 32-year-old Matt Kemp. Other than the fact that he's been better in the second half most of his career, Hamilton is just right on the cusp of where I still think maybe he had a breakthrough.
Right.
He's still young enough. He's still had little enough experience. And now it's close. He's at 1,500 plate appearances. He's pretty close to what he is. But I do believe it's more possible that he figured something out. He's not going to be a .371 on base guy, but if he could be a .350 on base guy, that would be huge.
I think back we've reached a point too, at least from our own drafting. I don't know where he's showing up in the Fantasy Pros ADP, but like people have been burned by him so much that there seems to be less confidence in him than usual. I've always been a big Billy Hamilton detractor. You're overpaying for one category; it's not worth it. But he's seems to last to a point where I'm a little more willing to look at him, and I think it's at a time when, yeah, there's actual changes going on here. His fly ball percentage was down. His ground ball percentage was up last year significantly. And that's what you want a guy with his skill set to do, hit the ball on the ground. Because fly balls, unless they're going over the fence, they're probably outs. So He's hitting it on the ground. Obviously, he's beating out more infield singles. He's taking advantage of his speed more. I think there's a chance that he's a 260 hitter or better, maybe even like 280.
His Roto ADP is sixth round.
Okay, that's pretty normal.
Ahead of Mark Trumbo, Justin Upton, Matt Kemp, all those guys.
Seems pretty fair. I'd take Trumbo ahead, but
when we say round, by the way, we're basing it on a 12-team league. And also, right. You know, another thing about Hamilton, this is the second time I'll make this joke. You guys didn't respond the first time I made it a couple weeks ago. I'll make a slightly different joke on the same along the same lines. His manager,
Brian Price.
The more
time you could spend explaining this, go.
Yeah, yeah. His manager, Brian Price, said that every time he hits the ball in the air, he has to give him 20 push-ups. Because he's Willie Mays Hayes. He's Willie Mays Hayes. He's got to hit the ball on the ground. Okay. So, let's do this quickly. More likely to repeat last year's production, Mark Trumbo or Chris Davis?
Trumbo.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way too.
Okay. Trumbo is more likely to get closest to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're not saying either is going to. You're just saying which is more likely to.
Right.
So it's Trumbo.
I think it's Trumbo.
Yeah. I mean, he was that kind of power hitter with the Angels, just less favorable environment.
Okay. Better mid to late round pick, Byron Buxton or Dexter Fowler?
Fowler easily. Not close.
I guess if he really makes it to the late rounds, I'd have to agree. He's a lot safer than Buxton, but Buxton is on my breakouts list.
Fowler doesn't get enough respect. He gets hurt a lot. I do get that, but he's just a good player there. And if, you know, sitting in round 12 or later and Dexter Fowler is available, how do you not take Dexter Fowler, right?
Oh yeah. Leading off, he's going to score a ton of runs for the Cardinals. Nothing not to like.
Some power, some speed. Good stuff. Better Carlos Beltran or Carlos Gomez, who had a 905 OPS with Texas. But of course, Beltran was around 20th at outfield last year.
I mean, you got to go Beltran, even though he's 120.
He's 40.
But I mean, I think the more likely one to exceed expectations is clearly Gomez.
I'd rather draft Gomez than Beltran.
He's a chance to get a power speed combo in the late rounds, which is not easy to find in a roto league. It's obviously not the highest probability play, but after joining the Rangers last year, he kind of played like the Carlos Gomez of old, and he was eager to re-sign with them. He got multi-year offers from other teams, but wanted back in Texas because he liked whatever he established with the hitting coach there. And I haven't seen specifics on what exactly changed for him, but I'm not ruling out the possibility that he figured something out.
Okay, how would you rank these four outfielders? Jack Peterson, Carlos Beltran, Carlos Gomez, Yasiel Puig. That's how they are in average draft position, but they're close. Peterson, Beltran, Carlos Gomez, Yasiel Puig.
I might stick Puig ahead of Gomez as the third and fourth spots there, but otherwise that's exactly how I have them. And that's a recent change, moving Peterson ahead of that group with Dave Roberts recently saying he sees him as the everyday center fielder.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go Peterson, Gomez, Beltran, Puig.
Better Hunter Pence or Hunter Renfro?
Hunter Pence is better. Hunter Renfro could be better. I'd rather draft Hunter Renfro, I think. I got Hunter Pence in like the 13th round of an NL-only draft. Like, nobody wanted him. He's not considered safe anymore is the funny thing.
Would you rather draft Renfro?
For where I could get him. Like, last round pick, Hunter Renfro. For the potential 30-homer power as a rookie. I think he has that kind of potential. Bad plate discipline gives him a low floor as well, but I'd rather go for the potential than the boring and not necessarily safe Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence, before he got hurt last year, had a .298 batting average, .375 on base, .486 slugging. I think it was kind of a late hot streak that got his numbers up, but he had only 7 home runs in 2 months. He doesn't steal bases now. I can't really imagine him on any of my mixed league teams, Pence, whereas I can imagine taking the late round flyer on Renfro.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
Okay. Did you know that Melky Cabrera has finished as a top 20 outfielder in points leagues, much better in points leagues, 2 of the last 3 years? Melky Cabrera, top 20 in points, 2 of the last 3 years. And Adam Duvall was number 17 in Roto last year. Should Melky or Adam Duvall get some love?
I don't think either deserves love. I think Melky Cabrera is a fine fallback option in a points league because you pretty much know what you're getting from him. It's just that's the extent of his upside. You know, and we've talked about this before, when a guy's near the bottom of the startable threshold, I mean, on a per-game basis, a lot of players who actually ranked behind him are going, you'd rather have them for the upside in a mixed league scenario.
Right.
So that's how I feel about Melky. And Duvall, I'm just like, Duvall is so extremely power focused, sold out for power, that I could see him just slumping his way out of the job. Like, it may work out fine. He may hit another 30 homers, but it's not something I really want to invest in.
Okay, Heath, I'm not asking who's going to steal more bases. I want to know who's a better late round steal specialist to take, all things considered. Jerod Dyson for Seattle, Rajay Davis for Oakland.
I'm going to go with Dyson. The situation is much better. I think there's a better chance that Davis at his age could just like completely, both of them have the opportunity to lose a job, but I think Davis could lose it more easily just because he's, and also the Athletics, if he does anything good in the first half, are going to be looking to trade him to a team that may just want him as a fourth outfielder.
All righty. And better chance to bounce back, part one. Randall Grichuk or Corey Dickerson? Dickerson has lost 25 pounds. He also finished strong. He had an 886 OPS and 7 homers in his last 35 games. So Randall Grichuk or Corey Dickerson, part one, better chance to bounce back.
Grichuk, yeah, I don't even really see Grichuk as a bounce back candidate. I just see him as an underrated source of power. He had some playing time issues early last year, but once he got in the lineup consistently, he was a fairly reliable source of home runs, just not much else. And that's kind of who I think he's going to be going forward.
Well, it's two things. One, I would say Grichuk is more of a breakout candidate than a bounce back candidate. I think I agree with Scott on that. The other is I want to find out this year, what is Randall Grichuk's true, and I'm going to use the word again, but BABIP. Because he hit 276 in 2015. He looked like he'd be fine in average, but he had a 365 BABIP. Last year, it was all the way down to 294. If 320 is normal, somewhere right in the middle there, then he's not going to hurt you in average.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Corey Dickerson is clearly the higher ceiling player. And
I don't know if I agree with that in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. Like, if you just break down the numbers, it seems like his, you know, if you look at like BABIP and
right,
line drive, fly ball rate, all that stuff, it seems like the park just killed him, and that's everything there is to it. It just seemed so extreme,
right,
that I'm not sure I completely buy it. He had a screaming liner home run to the opposite field yesterday, so
I just, Grichuk's
keeping an eye on him this spring.
Grichuk's a 25 year old with a Miguel Sano-esque hard contact rate that could just turn into a star this year.
You know what? There are so many outfielders that are enticing late, you know, that are being drafted after the 50th outfielders off the board. So,
yeah.
They're not.
That's kind of the high-low strategy we were talking about.
Exactly. So we have to identify which ones we want. Better chance to bounce back, part two, Michael Conforto or David Peralta?
Well, Peralta actually has a job right now, so he's the front runner. But Conforto has earned some really high praise in spring training from the Mets, and Lucas Duda, who missed a lot of last year with the stress fracture in his back, he has a sore back now. Jay Bruce has been taking grounders at first base. It seems like one of those Jurassic Park, Ian Malcolm, life finds a way situations that I think Conforto ends up playing a lot this year.
If he doesn't, it's because he sucks.
Yeah.
Because there's so many old injury-prone players on that Mets team.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be at-bats to be had.
And I just feel like the ceiling's higher than David Peralta, so I'll take Conforto of those two.
Hey, speaking of injury-prone Mets, quick news and notes. David Wright has a shoulder impingement and will not throw for a couple of weeks. It's actually just getting sad at this point. So, yeah, Jose Reyes talked about him being a sleeper. He's not even going to be a sleeper at this point. Because, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen with Wright. But he's not going to throw for a couple weeks and obviously injury prone. Byron Buxton could lead off for Minnesota. We should talk more about him when we will. And then Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton is very interesting because he has had the exact same season twice in a row, basically. He's been better in points leagues than Roto. But, you know, maybe there's some untapped upside there. Adam Eaton feels like a safe bet to be a top 30 outfielder unless he hits at the bottom of the order, which is possible for the Nationals. They don't want too many lefties in a row at the top of the order, so we have to keep an eye on where Adam Eaton is going to bat.
I did notice the other day, though, that Dusty Baker, despite saying he might hit Jason Wirth second to break up those lefties, the batting order for them was Turner, Eaton, Harper, Murphy. Or I may have switched the last two, but he went ahead and batted the three lefties in a row.
Is it just me, or like, why not just hit Eaton first and Turner second?
I that's probably the right way to do it, but I think he was just, Dusty Baker was, just doesn't want to mess with a good thing with Turner because he was batting leadoff last year. That would be my guess.
Man, you put Turner there right in front of Bryce Harper. That, it's frustrating to me.
I actually think Eaton's a little overrated in fantasy. I don't know what makes him so much better than Melky Cabrera. I guess he gets a few more steals, but it's not like he's a big base stealer. It's a better lineup. I understand that. So he'll probably have more runs scored. But
oh yeah. If you told me he was hitting leadoff for 150 games, I would expect him to be amongst the league leaders in the National League in runs scored because he's going to get on base.
But
he's got great offense behind him.
I think he's boring in the main two stats you look at Roto, home runs and stolen bases. Like, he's just not, he doesn't excel enough at either to ever, I'm never the one drafting him, I guess.
And I probably need to run this, so I could be wrong, but I feel like the number of players that contribute across four categories, like how many guys do we have out there that can hit 280, score 90 runs, and have 14 homers and 14 stolen bases?
Well, it made Adam Eaton the number 31 Roto outfielder. He was number 17 in points because he's always a good triples guy. 29 doubles, 9 triples last year. He's had, I think, two straight years with 9 triples. If you're playing in an on-base percentage league, then maybe Eaton's a little more attractive, 361 or 362 on base in three straight seasons. Where he hits in the order will help. I don't know. Maybe he's just kind of that safe guy. If you want a number three outfielder, you feel like your team's a little bit risky. You look at Adam Eaton, you say, all right, he's not going to hurt me.
Let me ask you this. And I feel like Eaton goes ahead of Jose Ramirez in our drafts. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does the ADP show that?
I have him ranked well ahead of Jose Ramirez. So
I feel like Jose Ramirez is a safer source of batting average and a safer source of stolen bases and with about the same power and also in a very good lineup. So I don't know why Eaton would, and he's dual eligible with the possibility of gaining more. So I don't know why Eaton wouldn't.
I think the safe part that you're attributing to him after 1 year is what everybody else is not doing.
Okay.
I think there's just some risk with Jose Ramirez that maybe there's not. You might be right. I'm not as convinced that we've seen it exactly what Jose Ramirez is.
He's getting the one-year wonder treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are six outfielders that are going right in the same range, beginning of round 11 in a 12-team league, drafted in the 120s. And they are Adam Eaton, Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley. Now, keep these names in mind. I'm going to ask you for your two favorites. Adam Eaton, Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley, Odubel Herrera, Stephen Piscotty, and Jose Ramirez. Again, I'll read them again. Eaton, Cain, Jackie Bradley, Odubel Herrera, Piscotty, Jose Ramirez. Who are your two favorites?
Can I give three?
Yeah.
I will go with Piscotty, Bradley, and Cain.
I know Bradley and Piscotty are my two highest ranked, but I don't really know what to do with Bradley because I don't know what he's good at. I know he was good last year, but I don't know what parts of that are sustainable and what skills that he didn't show last year he should be showing. So he's a confusing case for me.
Okay.
I think personal favorite Ramirez would be ahead of Bradley for me.
But you're not drafting Ramirez over Bradley.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Bradley might go a lot earlier in our drafts, and Jackie Bradley was the number 14 outfielder in points, number 15 in Roto. All right. We're going to really break down average draft position now, but first, let's have a little fun. It is Team Name Tuesday. Our first real round of Team Name Tuesday. This one is from Eric, and he says, I'm in an AL Dynasty League. I have Michael Fulmer and Carson Fulmer. My team name, Fulmer House. Tell me Heath doesn't love that name.
It's very nice.
I think, did we have that in the podcast league last year?
Yep.
We did, right?
Yep.
Okay, so fail. Next up.
It's already been done.
Next up, we have Brandon. 14-team points league. The theme of the league is dynamic duos, so he has Dahl and Oates.
And I saw the picture that goes with this one. The picture really makes the difference.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, he's got David Dahl photoshopped onto Daryl Hall. It's very good. This is from Jamie. Shinsu been gone!
Shinsu been gone.
Not bad.
It sounds like a pretty novel use of the name. I don't know.
Except
that's
the problem is, like, when you read it, you don't read it in Adam's singing voice. So I feel like there's a little, like, what?
Well, you will now.
Yeah.
This is from Paul. Nomar Benintentional Wakas.
That's terrible.
No, that's great. No more intentional walks. Nomar Benintentional Wakas.
Awful.
Nomar Benintentional Wakas.
And you didn't like my Yasmani Money. Tomas Problem.
I mean, if he has all three of those players on his team, that's pretty cool, right? I've always wanted to put together a team that, like, I can use every single name in this really long sentence and nothing else. It's probably
okay.
Impossible.
Well,
that's the dream.
Then you're gonna like our last one. But the next one we have Tyler from Minneapolis. Benintendo Punch Out.
Not the best use of Benintendi, but. It's original, I guess.
All right, then we have Scott and KC. Go Royals!
Yeah,
I don't know if I should sing it or say it. What do you think?
Love your name, Scott. Great name.
Sing it or say it. What do you think?
Just say it, please.
Get Votto my dreams. Get into Giancarlo.
Oh, Scott!
But then he added alternate. You didn't think that's funny? What's with you guys?
I'm a really harsh critic of these. I've told you. I don't feel comfortable creating them myself because I think they're all not quite good enough.
And then he also had Trout, Votto, Mike Leake, Frank Lindor, Giancarlo, which is just ridiculous. So get out of my dreams, get into my car. All right, also, Scott and KC says, tell Scott White I tried Agricola on his suggestion and my boys and I love it.
Oh, it's a great game. It's my favorite game. You have to have 2.5 hours to invest in it, but it's the mechanics of it are just amazing.
And the last bit of goofiness before we get to the ADP, a tweet of the day.
I think it's Agricola, by the way. Sorry. I think the Kronek, I've been saying it wrong most of my life, but it's Agricola.
Agricola. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Brad Altman, tweet of the day. Is anyone else concerned that Scott White is still sick? Can we do a GoFundMe page and buy him some vitamins?
Well, I'm a little concerned because I've got a little bit of congestion today.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
It starts.
So thank you for your concern, Brad.
I can't imagine I'm contagious anymore this late in.
Oh no, I probably caught it from you a week ago when you were in here.
Maybe.
Oh, hey, by the way, I think we're doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything on Thursday. More details coming on tomorrow's show. We'll finalize the time, but I'm thinking Thursday at around 11 a.m., a Reddit Ask Me Anything on the Reddit Fantasy Baseball page. Here's your average draft position for outfielders. We'll go over some of what we did yesterday, but mostly beyond. Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant, they're in the top four overall picks. Bryce Harper, 9th overall. Trey Turner, 11th or 12th overall. Charlie Blackmon, 15th overall. Starling Marte, 23rd overall. So that is 7 outfielders, but we'll get rid of Trey Turner for this exercise. 6 outfielders in the first 24 picks, which would be 2 rounds in our 12-team standard leagues. And then we got George Springer in the middle of round 3, 30th overall. Scott, I know you said that you weren't taking Springer in the second round. Would you take him 30th overall?
So that's middle of the third? Yeah, I could do that.
All right, then, end of the third, this run of outfielders, A.J. Pollock, Ryan Braun, Giancarlo Stanton, Nelson Cruz. A.J. Pollock, Ryan Braun, Giancarlo Stanton, Nelson Cruz. Is Nelson Cruz the safest one in that group? 3 straight 40-homer seasons.
I kind of feel like he's safe. It sounds dumb to say that, a guy on the wrong side of 35, but he already has 2 home runs this spring, so it seems like he's okay still. He hasn't fallen off the cliff. It's going to be a situation for him where I think he just falls off a cliff 1 year, and I'm not willing to, compared to those others, I don't think the risk of that is as high as what they're dealing with.
I'm still trying to decide if in my final bus column I'm going to go for the triple crown of missing on Nelson Cruz falling off a cliff.
Yeah, well, Nelson Cruz has been a top 7 outfielder in both formats 3 straight seasons. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with people taking him over those guys. Would you take Nelson Cruz over Braun? Probably not Pollock, I'm guessing, but would you take him over Braun, Pollock, and Stanton?
I don't know that I would Braun either.
No,
but I understand it. I'm not as concerned about the batted ball issues that I know Heath and Chris have brought up for Braun. It's mostly just health for me.
I've got Cruz 12th, just ahead of JD Martinez, which I think is exactly what the ADP has. So,
okay, I did mention last month Braun finally has a healthy offseason. 2 straight off seasons he was coming off an injury. This time he's had a healthy offseason. He feels better, but I don't know. He doesn't usually play more than like 140 games.
Right.
So the next outfielder off the board, when you don't count Trey Turner, this would be number 12. It's JD Martinez, 46th overall. Now, we talked about him yesterday. So let's go to the 50s, and we're in round 5 now. We've got 2 Rockies back-to-back, Carlos Gonzalez and Ian Desmond, followed by Will Myers, Yoenis Cespedes, Christian Yelich, and Andrew McCutchen. Carlos Gonzalez, Ian Desmond, Will Myers, Yoenis Cespedes, Christian Yelich, and Andrew McCutchen. Those are your round 5 outfielders. What are your thoughts on that group?
I don't necessarily agree with the order, but I agree with those guys being grouped together. Was Ian Desmond better than Carlos Gonzalez last year?
Yes.
He was, right?
Slightly.
While not hitting in Coors.
I'm going to guess Will Myers was, too. But yeah, Ian Desmond.
Because I've got Desmond
the effect now
at the top of this tier, and Gonzalez at the bottom of it.
By the way, and he may be eligible at outfield on other sites, Will Myers is not eligible at outfield on CBS, so don't count on drafting him there if you play on our site. And I wouldn't necessarily count on him gaining outfield eligibility during the year either. It's possible, but he's their first baseman, and so that's where you should expect to draft him.
You know, Heath, so you have Desmond number 1 on this list.
Uh-huh.
Why not Yoenis Cespedes? So Cespedes in 2015 was the number 5 outfielder in points, number 4 in Roto, and that was on 159 games. So I took what Cespedes did in 132 games last year. I gave him 20 more games, 152 games.
Right.
He hit 31 home runs, by the way, in 132 games. If he had played 152, would have been the number 8 outfielder in points leagues. Where does Cespedes rank for you in that list of Desmond, Cespedes, Carlos Gonzalez, I'll forget about Will Myers, Yelich, and McCutchen?
In points, I've got Cespedes right behind McCutchen, who is right behind Desmond. I did have Cespedes higher in my initial rankings, but then I heard this guy on the CBS podcast talk about how you really couldn't trust Cespedes after he got $100 million.
That's not lost on me.
So I had to downgrade him just a little bit.
That's not why you downloaded him.
No, it's
downgraded him. Excuse me.
Who was saying that, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You were looking at me like I said. I don't
hey, listen.
Saying that.
This is my argument. Cespedes is one of the few guys that I would not trust on a big deal. He has been traded too many times. He's been a bad clubhouse guy in the past. He seems to be a pretty good fit for the Mets, though, and maybe things have turned the corner. But they were hesitant, very hesitant to give him a big deal originally. He said he turned down more money to stay with the Mets, so maybe things have changed. But I think there are red flags with Cespedes getting paid.
Eh.
All right, fine.
I mostly feel the same way that Scott does, but I was just trying to give you a hard time. Listen, I've got Desmond, McCutchen, Cespedes, and Gonzalez back to back to back to back in my overall rankings.
But believe me, I would take Cespedes over McCutchen any day.
Right, you hate Andrew McCutchen.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Scott, any thoughts on that group?
No, I pretty much agree with what Heath was saying.
But Yelich doesn't necessarily belong here?
I don't have Yelich in this group, no.
All right.
Oh, did you read him too?
Yeah, yeah, he's part of that, but you called him your bus.
Yeah, no,
yesterday.
Yelich, the earliest I'd look for Yelich is round 7. I just not confident in him repeating the home run production of a year ago, much less adding to it.
I'm good with him in round 6. Just not in this tier. I'd like to get him more in the Adam Jones, Jose Bautista range.
All right, it should be noted, Don Mattingly loves Christian Yelich, thinks he's going to be a star with more power and a better batting average.
I don't think that would be, like, I don't think those are mutually exclusive. He doesn't hit 20 homers this year, but he's still a star. Like, he's good in a lot of other ways.
Better real-life player than fantasy.
I kind of think this, you could apply the same argument to Yelich that I did yesterday to Nomar Mazara. That, yeah, he has some regression coming as far as the home run to fly ball rate, but that's only assuming that he hits the ball like he did last year.
Oh, for sure.
And so if he's added some power, then that regression may not happen.
Alrighty.
I think it's more likely with Mazara just because he's younger.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And obviously the price tag is dramatically different.
Right.
All right, let's move on here. Let's go to round 6 in a 12-team league. Gregory Polanco, Kyle Schwarber, Billy Hamilton. And that's it for round 6. Gregory Polanco, Kyle Schwarber, Billy Hamilton. Seem normal there?
Well, I do wonder what other data is being pulled for Schwarber, where maybe he's being drafted in places where he is catcher eligible, because that would make a very big difference.
Yeah.
On CBS, he is going at the end of the 6th round. On Yahoo, he's going in the 5th round. He's catcher eligible on Yahoo.
Well, on CBS, if he's still going in the 6th, you say, so that's too early for a presumed platoon player who's only outfield eligible.
I don't know if I agree. If he plays 100, if he plays 140 games, he's going to be worth that. Would you agree with that, probably?
Depends how long he's playing in those games. Because there's probably, even in the games he starts, it's probably going to be a situation where if the Cubs have the lead, Baez comes into play second, Zobrist moves out to left, and how early will Joe Maddon make that move? I don't know.
Right.
But
I feel like with Schwarber, there's a floor of he's only like the 40th outfielder because he doesn't play enough and he's better. He's much better in roto leagues, but there's a ceiling that he gains catcher eligibility in May and he's playing regularly and he's a top 10 outfield value.
Well, they've kind of said they see him as the third catcher.
Yeah.
And I've seen some writers put it as the emergency catcher. So I'm even more convinced he's not going to have catcher eligibility as early as May, if at all, on our side.
I feel like there are going to be pinch hit appearances late in the game where he comes in and he catches. And
pinch
just,
run.
You need
That's
5.
The thing. Yeah.
Right, you only need 5 appearances, and Schwarber's got the chance to go from... Schwarber has the chance to have his value increase more than almost any player in fantasy if he gains catcher eligibility. So
yeah, and in one of our drafts, I think it may have been a one catcher league, not a two catcher league, but in one of our drafts, he lasted to round 9, and that's where I felt comfortable taking him. I actually took him in that draft.
I just want to say
round
this.
5, 6, 7 range now.
Last year, like if Schwarber's max is 140 games, I looked at how many outfielders played fewer than 145 games last year and finished in the top 20. There were only two top 20 outfielders that played fewer than 145 games in points leagues. They were Charlie Blackmon and Ryan Braun. And in Roto, there were 3, Blackmon, Braun, and Marte. So it's not easy.
Yeah, I would say I don't expect Kyle Schwarber to put up numbers like they did last year. Like that's, I'm not saying he doesn't have the ceiling for that, but that can't be the expectation for him.
Okay, let's go on here a little bit further to the next round. We have Mark Trumbo, and then there's like 7 picks after that. We have Justin Upton. So this is the group we kind of spoke about before. Who are your favorites here? Trumbo, 23rd outfielder off the board. He was like top 8 last year.
Trumbo,
Upton. Well, hold on. Chris Davis, Matt Kemp, David Dahl, Adam Jones.
Trumbo.
Jones and Dahl are close for me, but I agree. Trumbo.
And then Jose Bautista. I like Bautista better than all of them.
Okay, well, in a points league, definitely I like Bautista the most.
These are largely Roto ADP.
Yeah.
And I like Trumbo better than Bautista and Roto.
You do.
It's a close call for me, even in Roto. But Trumbo, I see Trumbo as safer.
What about last year with Trumbo do you think is not sustainable?
I don't know that I think anything is not sustainable for Trumbo last year. Maybe health. That would be, because he has had some back issues at times. That's kind of why he fell off the map for a 2-3 year stretch. But I saw last year's Trumbo getting back to the pure essence of Trumbo, just in the most favorable hitter's environment he's played in. I guess he played in Arizona for a little while, but for the most part, he spent his career in pitcher's parks. So Baltimore was a breath of fresh air.
What is it they say? Like, water is the essence of Trumbo?
Trumbo is the essence. I may be throwing everything off track here.
Yeah.
But I just saw something that kind of affects outfield just a little bit, because it affects the situation we were just talking about with Mets playing time.
Go ahead.
Did you see David Wright's been shut down?
Are you kidding? I just said that like 20 minutes ago. He's a shoulder impingement. Where were you?
You literally just said that, and I didn't hear it.
No, I said that. I talked about that for like 30 straight seconds, or Jose Reyes is no longer a sleeper.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember you saying it either.
What?
And it could just be because we both tune out when you're like speeding through the news and notes. And
that, yeah, that was the first news and note. I segued into it beautifully. You were talking about Mets injuries or something.
Yeah, we were talking about Lucas Duda, and we were talking about Michael Conforto getting playing time.
You know, oh, when you're God. In a conversation and you're not...
I apologize, Adam.
You're not really listening. You're just kind of forming your next thought.
Is this good or bad?
This is like what happens when I talk to my fiance about sports. I'm like, yo, you understand? This is a really big game. If they win this, they're gonna get the 5 seed. This is it. She's like, oh, okay, great, have fun. I'm like, oh, forget it.
I'm going to also assume this is what it's like for her when she talks to you about anything other than sports.
It's gonna.
I'm working on that. All right, let's go past Jose Bautista is the 28th outfielder off the board, not including Trey Turner, not including Wilson Contreras. Adam Eaton is next. Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley. So Jackie Bradley, as like the 30th outfielder off the board, considering he was top 15 last year, is Jackie Bradley in the 11th round a huge steal?
Oh, it seems like a great bargain. Yeah.
Great value.
Yeah. And it may not work out if he doesn't sustain the power gains from a year ago and doesn't improve in any other regard. But yeah, I'd definitely take the chance on him at that point. I'd take the chance on him in probably round 7 or 8, actually.
All right, just a couple things on Bradley. Well, just one thing. He's kind of Justin Upton-y. He has been, in the last 2 seasons, unbelievably hot when he's hot and super ice cold when he's cold. Like, in 2015, he had a 25-game stretch with a 1441 OPS. He hit 446 and slugged 952, and then the last 25 games of the season, he batted 138. And he had a terrible final 2 months last year as well. So I don't know. Maybe you just have to deal with the streaks, but he was top 15.
His ISO has been over 200 for 2 consecutive years. So it's kind of a 2015 was only a half season for him, but it's a year and a half trend as opposed to just 1 year. So maybe I shouldn't even be that skeptical about the power.
All right, then we've got Odubel Herrera, Stephen Piscotty, Jose Ramirez. We talked about this group. After this, now we're getting closer to 40 in the outfield rankings, and we're getting to about round 11 or 12 in 12-team leagues. Miguel Sano, who you can play at third. Adam Duvall, who really, like, you can't, like, Duvall and Sano shouldn't be back-to-back, right?
No, I would much rather have Sano.
Me too.
Jose Peraza, who you're going to play at short. Kendrys Morales is only DH eligible, right, for us?
Yes.
Is this kind of where you would fit Kendrys Morales in? Or with a guy like Sano or Yasmani Tomas, who's next?
Yeah, I think that's a good range for him.
Sano seems like the biggest outlier of this group from all of them, including Morales.
Yeah, we do have some interesting players here. We have Yasmani Tomas, who had a big power season last year, Dexter Fowler, Byron Buxton, Jay Bruce. Why is it that I have, like, Tomas, Fowler, Buxton, to me, much more desirable to be on my team than Jay Bruce and then Hunter Pence, who's next? You feel the same
way? I don't know.
Way?
I feel like everybody's being way too hard on Jay Bruce. I get that impression a lot.
Well, I am, for sure.
Should we do our annual Jay Bruce Isn't Old Yet?
Hey, oh, by the way, this is important. David Wright, I don't know if you guys saw this, David Wright has a shoulder injury, and he's not going to throw for 2 weeks, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's going to give Bruce an opportunity to play more.
Bruce is going to play a lot anyway. I mean, his job security isn't in question here.
Okay, so Jay Bruce is still, and he will be when the season starts, still not 30 years old. Okay?
And look, he was so bad after getting traded to the Mets at the first however long that, like, it just became,
well,
like, it was such a, because it was with the Mets, it became so widely reported and like, so people just have this idea in their head, Jay Bruce is terrible. He finished very strong.
I think also, like, the park he's coming from and he's played his entire career in is tailor-made towards his type of play. City Field isn't a bad place.
No, it's not.
But it's not where he's coming from in Cincinnati. That's one of the best.
I think the power's so big, though. I don't. And he finished strong. And look, he's working with Kevin Long now, who has a great track record of correcting flawed left-handed hitters.
That's a good point. Yep.
Curtis Granderson and Daniel Murphy being the two highest profile examples. So, if anything, I think there's still room for improvement for Bruce. He's not 30 yet, right?
Right, but would you rather have Bruce or Buxton and Fowler?
Bruce.
I would rather have Fowler than Bruce.
In a points league, I'll take Fowler, but Roto...
I would rather have Bruce than Buxton. I am not really that interested in the whole Byron Buxton experience.
You're not?
No.
I'm the high guy on Buxton.
Like, he had a power surge at the end of last year.
Which he never showed. He never.
Right.
Like, he'd been completely inept in the majors, and then suddenly he has this monster September, and it's like.
But it's a monster September that still included a 33% strikeout rate.
It did, but I don't think you can just call it random fluctuation because, like, he did not seem capable of doing that against major league pitchers until his last minor league trip to the minors, and then he comes back and he's hitting a lot of home runs. So
it's
the strikeout rate is concerning, but for he's going 16th round on average. That's a late round pick, and you know he might even get him potentially later than that.
Byron Buxton,
and, you know,
Byron Buxton.
He has obviously crazy pedigree, top prospect in baseball formerly.
He hit 277. With 7 home runs in September, with 8 walks, 35 strikeouts. What I want to know, why isn't Buxton stealing bases? I thought the guy stole.
Yeah, I just don't know why I would take Buxton when he's going 30 spots ahead of Jock Peterson, 35 spots ahead of Nomar Mazara.
Yeah, I mean, those specific... I like him more than Mazara. Peterson, I recently moved up, and it may be a case where Peterson's ADP is going to be corrected now that we have reason to believe he's playing every day. In regard to the stolen bases, Adam...
does he
want
to?
Paul Molitor said the other day that he's thinking about Buxton for the leadoff spot.
Right.
So I think that would change the equation a bit for him on the base paths.
I'm not sure that I have any higher expectations for Buxton than I do Kevin Kiermaier.
I mean, I like Kevin Kiermaier too. So.
You like Kevin Kiermaier a lot, but you can get Kevin Kiermaier 100 picks later.
In theory. I don't know that it always plays out that way. You could get both, too. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
All right. Well, the bottom line is, I already mentioned the Buxton batting leadoff thing in the news and notes section.
You did?
I sure did.
Did you hear him say that, Heath?
No.
I don't think you did the
news and notes.
I did, because the other news and note item was that Adam Eaton might bat toward the bottom of the order.
I remember
things.
That part.
Because we talked
that we
about
remember.
It.
We definitely talked about
it. If you didn't turn it into a conversation, we didn't hear it.
There you go. Okay, so other guys here. We're getting around 50 in outfield rankings. Cole Calhoun, Michael Brantley, and I would take Michael Brantley over almost all of the guys that we have talked about. I don't know how you guys feel. I feel like Heath probably not. Scott maybe agrees with me. But Brantley, 45th outfielder off the board. I'd take him over Buxton. I don't know. I guess I'd take him over Fowler and Roto.
That's 9 spots higher than I have him in my rankings.
I don't know. I see 2 years ago, or I guess 2014, this was the number 2 outfielder in fantasy. 2015, he was still very good. Michael Brantley. So I think it's great value if you're talking around 14, 15 for him.
Well, if the caliber of outfielder you're drafting, if you don't see that outfielder as a major improvement over Melky Cabrera, who you know you can get, why not just take the chance on Brantley? Some real upside.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Oh, Marcell Ozuna, Jock Peterson, Carlos Beltran, Nomar Mazara. Do you think Marcell Ozuna belongs with those guys? These are still good names, guys with some upside. Jock Peterson, Carlos Beltran, Mazara, Carlos Gomez. Ozuna's going just ahead of all of them.
I like Ozuna better than all of them. I don't know why we don't like Ozuna.
I don't like Ozuna. I'll tell you why I don't like Ozuna.
Let's hear it.
I think he is exactly what he showed himself to be last year, which is a mid-20s homers guy with poor peripherals, poor strikeout-to-walk ratio. So
his strikeout-to-walk ratio got a lot better last year. He was under 19% strikeouts, got his walks up to a career high. He's going to have 70 to 80 runs in RBI, maybe even more.
Well, then answer me this.
Yes.
If that is your real name.
That is my real name. His hard contact rate went up.
How was he behind Nick Markakis and just ahead of Max Kepler in head-to-head points per game last year, huh? If he was so special. 115 strikeouts to 43 walks. How is that anywhere close to good?
It's a major improvement.
Okay,
there's a lot of good hitters with a 7% walk rate and an 18% strikeout rate.
He's just so boring. He's a 20-homer guy who doesn't help you in any other way.
All right, that's Marcell Ozuna, who we differ on. After Beltran, Mazara, and Gomez, we have Keon Broxton, Ender Inciarte, Hernan Perez, Randall Grichuk, Yasiel Puig, Hunter Renfro.
I rest my case on Marcell Ozuna.
What do you mean?
The names you just read off.
I like a lot of them. I like some of them better than Marcell Ozuna.
All right, again, they are Keon Broxton, Ender Inciarte, Hernan Perez, Randall Grichuk, Yasiel Puig, and Hunter Renfro.
In fact, I'm not sure there's one I like less than Ozuna.
There's one I like more than Ozuna, and that's Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, I think he has. He could make the leap. Predict he will hit more home runs of the two of them this year.
I think Grichuk could make a Tomas type home run surge this year.
Yeah, and Keon Broxton. There's some playing time concerns there because Lewis Brinson, top prospect, is off to a good start this spring and could win a job potentially. But I feel like the right fielder, what's his name?
Domingo Santana?
Domingo Santana would suffer just as much from that as Broxton would. I think Broxton is, worst case scenario, he's like a 350 at bat guy. And with the kind of speed he offers in Roto, I mean, he could get 40 steals in 350 at bats. If he gets more than that, I mean, he could be like a 15 homer, 50 steal guy in the late rounds. So I'm excited about Broxton. It's just a question of playing time.
I feel like Domingo Santana has late sleeper appeal.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Right. Cool.
I'm with you.
All right. The next three guys I could see drafting. Hunter Renfro. I think I already said him, though. Kevin Kiermaier. Eric Thames. The next guy I can't see drafting, except for AL only, Jacoby Ellsbury, who might not even bat at the top of the order this year. And then we've got some steals guys, Rajai Davis and Jerod Dyson. And then we've got Lewis Brinson, who Scott just mentioned, for Milwaukee. We'll start to see some prospects here. We have Leonis Martin, Melky Cabrera, Curtis Granderson, Clint Frazier and Matt Holliday of the Yankees, Manuel Margot of the Padres. Any names jump out as the best of this group? We got, you know, after Rajai Davis and Jerod Dyson, we have Lewis Brinson, Leonis Martin, Melky Cabrera, Curtis Granderson, Clint Frazier, Matt Holliday, Manuel Margot.
I think Margot is going to be a very nice source of steals and could be much, much more.
Now, this is interesting because I had kind of been assuming Margot was the Padres center fielder and Travis Jankowski was the Padres left fielder, unless something went wrong this spring. But I'm actually working on a spring position battles piece, so I was reading up a lot on what beat writers have written about position battles. It looks like the plan going into the season is Alex Dickerson at left, Renfro and right, of course, and so there's a battle this spring for center field between Jankowski and Margot, which hurts both player stock a good bit.
Right.
I still imagine they'd both play a lot, and Dickerson wouldn't play quite every day. But I'm not investing a lot in either Jankowski or Margo this year.
Okay. I think I don't want to sound like a homer, but I kind of like Matt Holliday as like the 65th to 70th outfielder off the board.
Well, you haven't got to the best value in like everything.
Jason Hayward.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. Jason Hayward, after the 70th outfielder off the board, that's not going to happen if you're drafting with us. Hayward, yeah, I mean, Hayward I want on a lot of my teams if I can get him in like the 18th round, and he's going even later than that, according to Fantasy Pros. Like,
right. Reddick, I think, down at 86th outfielder.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep reading. Why don't you guys tell me some late-round outfielders that you want to take?
Oh, you're going to send me this website. Hang on, let me pull it up.
I've already talked a lot about Santana. I think Jorge Soler, if you're looking for power late, his ADP is after 300. You mentioned Domingo Santana. I like Josh Reddick a lot in an excellent hitting environment. I don't know. Alex Gordon's CBS ADP is 472nd. Probably needs to be a little higher than that.
I mean, once you get past like 200, it doesn't really matter.
But no, I think that Gordon has bounce back potential.
What about Shin-Soo Choo?
I'd put him in the same category.
What about, do you like Corey Dickerson better than the guys we talked about, like Shin-Soo Choo and Alex Gordon?
I don't.
Yeah, no. Neither do I. I mean, I don't know. I may kind of like him more than Alex Gordon, but I definitely take Alex Gordon first.
We haven't mentioned Steven Souza at all yet, right?
Or Aaron Judge, if you want to talk about him.
Couple deep, deep sleepers with big power. Souza also has a little bit of stolen base potential.
Yeah, we just mentioned Jankowski as a steals sleeper, so he might not win the job, but he's in that discussion. Couple other guys who could give you steals for cheap and are competing for jobs. Chris Owings competing for the shortstop job in Arizona, and Melvin Upton competing for the left field job in Toronto. I don't know that either is going to play quite every day, even if they quote-unquote win the job,
right.
But they're steals for cheap. My favorite sleepers, I think we've already discussed, Byron Buxton, Keon Broxton, Kevin Kiermaier, either today or yesterday. We discussed them. One guy who's pretty far down the list who I see as kind of a deep sleeper, a guy I wanted to get in NL only, didn't work out, but Scott Schebler of the Reds. Left-handed hitter, so he may get caught in a platoon situation, but big minor league numbers, and I think he got sent down to the minors or was on some kind of respite for some reason and did some work on his swing, focused on hitting the other way more, and came back and was very productive. I could see him being a guy who gets streamed in mixed leagues if he's playing enough.
A couple other NL-only guys, Gerardo Parra. He still might be the starting outfielder for the Rockies, and he's basically not being drafted. And then a couple of them in Philadelphia, Michael Saunders and Howie Kendrick, both going to hit towards the middle of the order. That's a pretty good park. They could be useful in NL-only.
All righty. I feel pretty good about where we're at with outfielders. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll have our draft tomorrow, and that should be a lot of fun.
I've got some breaking news, Adam.
Oh, it's about David Wright?
David Wright, shoulder impingement.
Yeah,
to be
I know. I can't believe I didn't mention that. What's
you
wrong
gotta
with
get
me?
This stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie Tilson, he's a sleeper for steals. If he's healthy enough to start in center field for the White Sox. Charlie Tilson.
We'll end the show with Charlie Tilson. Never thought that was going to happen. It's time for me to speak, end the show, and for Scott and Heath to tune out. Thanks again. This is Outfield Part 2, starting pitcher later this week. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. See you later.